Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Two young students from a rural university attended a Christian Saturday night function about an hour's drive away. On the way back home, they were very tired, so the driver decided to take a shortcut. Some distance along the road, the car ran out of petrol. The men set out walking toward their destination. After a few kilometres, they saw a light at a farmhouse. When they approached the farmhouse, two big dogs rushed out at them, barking and snarling. Very quickly, they somehow found an inner strength to outrun those dogs before they were bitten. When King Saul's son Jonathan and David parted, David was not prepared for the role of fugitive. Someone as famous as him would find it hard to disappear into a hiding place and escape Saul's soldiers for any length of time. There are two aspects of David's life during these trials that parallel with the Lord Jesus Christ. Although David was well aware that God's divine protection had saved his life in the past, he wouldn't let the soldiers capture him. Secondly, he couldn't presume that God would do everything for him. He had to do his part. In the Bible book Matthew chapter 4, Satan tempted the Lord Jesus to sin against God. He quoted from Psalm 91 and tempted Jesus to throw himself down from the top of the temple building. Such an action would force God to send angels to protect him. Jesus knew he must act wisely and resist testing God's hand. David dearly wanted to prove his innocence of any wrongdoing against King Saul, but he could not, as Saul's judgments, good or bad, had become law. Even when the Lord Jesus was found innocent of any crime and Pilate publicly declared this, Jesus was not saved from the most severe punishment of all. In the pressure of the moment, David fled to the high priest at the tabernacle. David felt he could trust no one. When we're put under a lot of pressure, we tend not to think wisely and can often make mistakes. This was the very time that we need to trust God for everything. Faith is living without fear. David, however, started making plans in an underhand manner. He'd grown weary of the relentless threat to his life and started telling lies to protect himself. He even pretended to be mad to escape capture in a foreign country. The inner strength David had previously shown now seemed to have faded away.
There is someone outside who wishes to see you.
Well, bring him in.
But I thought it best first to tell you who he is.
You're being awfully mysterious.
He's not a common visitor.
Oh, a visiting dignitary, perhaps?
Yes, Your Grace. It's David.
David? The son of Jesse? The son-in-law of the king? Now, what's so unusual about a member of the royal family paying a visit to the place of worship and wishing to see the high priest of Israel?
He travels alone, Your Majesty. He has neither armor-bearer nor servant with him, and his mannerism speaks of intrigue and plotting.
Show David in immediately, and we shall solve the mystery, if such there be. Come in, David. You are alone.
Yes.
Is it not rather unusual for a member of the royal household to travel without benefit of protection and in the services of attendants?
Oh, indeed it is, but... business demands it in this case.
But obviously you travel hastily, too. You appear to be worried and full of sorrow. Are you fleeing from the wrath of the king?
What?
Will the king's soldiers be here after you at any minute?
No, I'm not being pursued.
Then may I ask, with all due respect, why you are come to me, the high priest at the tabernacle?
Well, I'm on an important errand for the king. He said unto me, David, let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you, and with which I have charged you.
I see. Well, what can I do for you and the king?
I'm in need of provisions, bread or whatever is at hand.
I have no common bread at hand. Only the hallowed bread?
Yes, but wouldn't the old bread that was removed from the tabernacle be considered common bread?
Well, perhaps. In any case, since you say it's for the king, I will let you have it.
I'm also in great need of some sort of weapon. The king's business is so urgent that I failed to bring with me my spear and sword. Do you have a spear or a sword?
The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the Valley of Elah.
Where will I go now? I lied to the high priest, so I can't go back there. And I had to feign madness before King Achish to escape. And that was a lie, too. Seems like I'm getting so I lie about anything. I've been under terrific strain, hunted and persecuted by Saul, with every man a spy who would betray me to the king. It's these pressures upon me and my human weakness. Oh, will God forgive a lie? Where will I go that I may...
David, anointed of God, a lie told, a harm done, a wrong committed, all these things will God forgive. Yet once done, the consequences cannot be undone.
Let us not sit in judgment of Bible characters. We can learn much from their problems and how they responded to them. Are we also not tempted to tell half-truths to try to make things better for ourselves? The big problem with lying is that another lie needs to be told to support the first lie, and often a third lie or more to try and cover things up. You may have heard of the famous quote, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." Just over a decade ago, the body of a former United States ambassador to Switzerland was buried in a cemetery famous for being the graveyard for American war heroes. Within 2 years, however, his tombstone was hauled away and his coffin dug up. This man had lied. For years he had told others he had served on a ship during the war. Yet when the records of war were finally checked, he was found to be a college student living hundreds of miles away from the sea, and not in the Merchant Navy at the time he claimed to be. Some people take their secrets to the grave, but that is never the end of it. In the Bible book Jeremiah, chapter 23, the Lord says, "I am a God who is everywhere, and not only in one place. No one can hide where I cannot see them." And in Hebrews, chapter 12, it says, "There's nothing that can be hid from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes. And it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves." The sad truth is, the more lies we tell, the more confused we become about what is truth. So is it ever right to tell a lie? In Proverbs chapter 12 we learn, "The Lord hates liars, but is pleased with those who keep their word." All lying is fellowship with the devil, as Satan is the father of all lies. In 1 Peter chapter 2 it says, "He," that is the Lord Jesus, "committed no sin, and no one ever heard a lie come from his lips. Take heed. We must always speak the truth in love, but if this endangers others, silence is our best response." In Europe during World War II, many people were saved from death by staying hidden in secret safe houses until they could be moved to freedom. Sometimes enemy soldiers suspected that fugitives were being kept in these safe houses, so they would raid them unexpectedly and carry out searches. In one such raid, a soldier demanded of a young girl where the people were hidden. She'd been taught never to tell a lie, so she replied, "Under the table." The soldier dragged the long tablecloth off the table and looked at her in disgust. Had he lifted the table aside, he would have seen the trap door in the floor to a room below where a number of desperate people were hoping and praying that they wouldn't be found. Sometimes we're tempted to tell a lie by not taking action when we should. A man lost an expensive pair of binoculars and claimed insurance for them. A year later, however, he found the binoculars and so immediately sent the money back to the insurance company. The reply letter from the insurance company said that receiving money back did not happen very often, and the people in the company were encouraged. Although this action seemed a small thing, it made a big impression on the man's children, and they never forgot their dad's example. Are our lives good examples for other people to learn from? We can only be truthful and honest when we keep our life focused on the Lord Jesus. Is he your friend and saviour? Turn away from sinful lying and falsehood and become his disciple today. That was Paul Baloche and Ed Kerr singing Faith is the Substance. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again: John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.